You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion on anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I'm your host, Raymond Pronk. Today I'm going to give you an update, and there have been several news events. And again, it's about Benghazi. It was announced today by the office of the House Speaker, John Boehner, that he has selected Congressman Trey Gowdy of North Carolina to head or chair the select committee investigating the attacks in Benghazi, Libya, on our CIA facilities there. I think it's an excellent appointment, but I do share Mr. Gowdy's view that this should have been done really several months ago. There were numerous people in the House, as well as the Senate, but primarily the House, that were requesting that the select committee be formed. Better late than never. I think that really tipped the scales was last week the revelations as a result of a lawsuit that got the document that Ben Rhodes, who's deputy assistant for national security affairs for President Obama. He used to be a speechwriter, and he's a communication guy. He writes the words, if you will. And what happened was there was an email release that got a lot of people's attention for a number of reasons. It took a court order as a result of a lawsuit to get this document out of the White House. This is a non-classified document. It wasn't classified. It was requested many, many months ago. It was submitted to the Oversight Committee heavily redacted, which means the information was blacked out and more or less worthless. Now, as a result of this lawsuit, we know that what the White House has been doing all along is stonewalling. Delay, 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 dribble, dribble, dribble. And that has been the problem, one of the problems of the investigations. Yes, there have been several investigations, both in the House and the Senate, of Benghazi. The problem is investigations, especially, for example, let's just take the House for a minute. The problem with those investigations is congressmen usually have rounds of questions where congressmen are given 5 minutes to ask questions. Many of them take advantage of that 5 minutes, but many others just grandstand. They make a speech, and about 2 to 3 minutes in, they might ask one or two questions. And then that 5 minute includes the answer from the person they're asking the question. So to make it real simple, the whole protocol or procedure that they follow in the various House committees just does not lend itself to getting at the truth. And that gives the advantage to whoever's appearing. They can stonewall. They can mislead because they know that this is going to go on and there's no real coordination amongst the congressmen as to what questions they ask. That's one big problem with these other oversight committees. The other one is you have multiple jurisdictions. And what I mean, the Armed Services Committee, for example, looks at just issues concerning the armed forces. The Intelligence Committee looks at just issues concerning intelligence and the Central Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency. So you have divided jurisdictions, so they look at only a slice of the whole situation. And unfortunately, Benghazi cuts across a number of areas. That's just another reason why you need a select committee. And a number of people were calling for this rather early. I was. They were never going to get really to the truth, and that's the important point. The American people were lied to just before the election with a cover story that Benghazi was caused by an internet or YouTube video. It definitely was not caused. This was a planned, organized, well-executed, and successful attack on two facilities in Benghazi. The so-called diplomatic facility where the ambassador was killed and another State Department employee was killed, and then an attack many hours later on the Central Intelligence Agency annex where two CIA employees, former Navy SEALs, were killed by mortar fire. Now, what you need to understand, an amateur just can't fire a mortar, and they need to be trained in it, and more importantly, you need to be expert in laying down fire, and they were, and they killed, as a result, killed two additional employees, this time of the CIA. So a total of four people were killed, and upwards of 12 were injured, some very seriously, mainly at the diplomatic facility where the ambassador was killed. That's what needs to be investigated, and that's what the American people are demanding. There have been poll after poll that are showing roughly 60%, some polls even higher, simply know that they were lied to. And they want explanations as to what really happened. Now, let me give you my big concern. This is the third show I've done Benghazi, but there's something new and important breaking. Gowdy was, Trey Gowdy, he's in a second term in Congress, and I've listened to him. He's very, very good in questioning why. He is a former district attorney. He's also a former federal prosecutor. Now, usually if you have that position and you're a litigator, you're trying cases, you become very, very good at asking questions, cross-examining witnesses. And that's what you need in this case. Now, that will be partially his role, and it's important that you have someone that understands that and is very, very good at it and also is aware of the testimony so far, because Congressman Gowdy served on Darrell Issa's Oversight Committee that was looking into this. So he knows, he's up to speed on a lot of the information that has been testified to both in private as well as in front of the cameras. And I do have a couple, and I need to say this, for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show, you go to the prompkpops.wordpress.com site. That's prompkpops, prompkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to my last roughly 60 shows. And at the very bottom, you have links to every show I've ever done on KDUX. And in between, and this is the point I need to emphasize, I have some information, additional information for your consideration, including YouTube videos, articles, charts, photographs. It depends on the news story I'm covering. Now, the reason why I'm really highlighting this story, and there are going to be developments, I think, throughout this week. But this is a story very much like Watergate, and this is the early days of Watergate. Now, some of you people were born way after Watergate. I understand that. But Watergate initially was not going anywhere. And then as a result of questionings, and this was a Democratic Senate Select Committee. A Select Committee is a temporary committee. It's given a certain job or assignment, and once it's done, then usually either a report is issued or a law is passed, and then it folds its tent, and the committee goes away. So you need to understand it's temporary, but what they do is they hire an investigative staff, which is crucial, and also crucial, they hire counsel that is going to, mainly attorneys, that are going to be asking the witnesses questions. And you need someone that's an attorney that is a prosecutor to do this. And several names have been mentioned, but that will be key. And usually what you have is a majority and minority counsel. Now, something needs to be said. I was watching, after the fact, the Sunday shows. I don't have TV at home. I just don't watch TV. I read at home. Sleep, eat, and read, and shower, and go to the bathroom. But that's what I do at home. I don't watch television. But when I have access to a computer, I will selectively look for for example, who was on the Sunday shows and what were they saying? And they had a Democrat there, a Congressman Schiff, a Democrat from California, and he gave the standard line, well, we've had all these investigations. This is entirely political. How many investigations do we need? We've had, you know, four or five committees investigate, blah, 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 blah. And, okay, that's true, but there's so many unanswered questions, that's why we need a select committee. You can't get at the truth. And we're not even close to the truth yet. Because I always say, what are they covering up? Now, if you listen to the last show, I told you what they're covering up. And what has not been exposed at all. At all. And this, there's, you see, here's the problem. There are about at least half a dozen areas, distinct categories of questions that will have a number of questions that need to be asked. And I'll get to that in a minute. But my lead category, and it's a set of questions, but I'll give you the first one. Why was the Central Intelligence Agency in Libya and specifically in Benghazi? Why were they there? What were they doing? What was their mission? Why did you have 35 Central Intelligence Agency, either employees or contract personnel, in what is now referred to as the CIA annex? What were they doing? They weren't on a vacation. They weren't on a picnic. Now, you might say, well, they're Central Intelligence. They're probably gathering intelligence. Well, I would assume that's a fair assumption, but that's not their main purpose. Part of it was, but that was not their main purpose. And it's related to the fact that initially a special envoy, Chris Stevens, was sent over there before he was ambassador when Gaddafi was still in power. And what he was doing was what the Central Intelligence Agency was doing together with the special envoy was arranging for the shipment of arms. That's rifles, pistols, ammunition, rocket-propelled grenades, missiles, surface-to-air missiles, artillery shells, and everything you need to really fight a war. That includes medical supplies, food, clothing, equipment to fight a war or a civil war, and that's what this was. Now, you need to remember, there was no declared war. Libya didn't attack us. Congress didn't declare a war, nor did the president ask Congress for an authorization to use force in Libya. And that needs to be repeated, repeated, and repeated. Now, what did go on, and what did the president authorize? Throughout the Central Intelligence Agency history, since it was formed in the early 50s, one of the capabilities of the Central Intelligence Agency is to conduct what's called covert operations, also called covert actions. These are large, not completely, but largely military operations. Many of them, the focus is to overthrow the existing government. The most famous example is in Iran that overthrew the existing government and put the Shah of Iran on the throne. Remember, his daddy was a sergeant. In the Iranian army, eventually as a result of coup, became emperor, and to restore him, the CIA backed the Shah and put him in power and overthrew the existing regime. Now, I'm not going to get into that history, but you need to first understand that one of the capabilities and one of the things that the CIA has done throughout its history is to engage in covert operations, some merely to gather intelligence and to recruit spies, but others really to overthrow governments. And sometimes they've been successful and sometimes they've been failures. Many, but not all, of these operations ultimately come out and are exposed for what happened. That's usually some of the information comes out concurrently with what's happening, but usually many years later the details come out. So you need to understand that history and that background. Many people don't. Ladies and gentlemen, the CIA was running guns. They were training the Libyan rebels. They were training them in the use of those weapons. Many of them didn't need the training. They already knew how to use the weapons. You know, the favorite rifle is the AK-47 produced in the Soviet Union, as well as knockoffs in many countries, including the United States. So first of all, the United States was arranging arms shipments from a number of sources into Libya, into the Benghazi area. That's why you had a CIA annex, which was a compound, a number of buildings. One of them was a warehouse facility that could store weapons. And they did. And they distributed these weapons initially to various militia groups that were rebelling against Gaddafi. Remember, Benghazi is in the eastern, it's in the eastern part of Libya near the coast, on the coast. But you also need to have some background. It was from this area that many of the so-called freedom fighters in Afghanistan were initially recruited to overthrow the Soviets. But it's also from this area that you have many Al-Qaeda groups. This is a hotbed of Islamic fanatics and terrorists, and that's important to understand. Not to sugarcoat it, the United States was shipping arms, running arms, however you want to describe it, engaging in shipments of armaments from a number of sources and arranging the purchase of these weapons or the donation of these weapons from Middle Eastern countries as well as European countries, and then giving them to various militia groups that were engaged in a civil war against Gaddafi. That's what was going on. That's why the CIA initially was there. And in order for them to be there, the President of the United States must sign what's called a finding. This is their authorization to do this. And you need to understand this. Obviously, it's classified. It's a secret. You're not going to read it in the newspapers. And it's never been released. But here are the mechanics, and you need to understand this as well. Once the president signs that, eight people in Congress get notified of this. Two, both in the House and the Senate. You have two people on the Senate and two people on the House Intelligence Committees, namely the chairman and the minority member, ranking minority member. So two senators and two congressmen on the Intelligence Committee are notified of this. Makes sense to me, and this is by federal law. They must be notified. That's four. The additional four are the leadership of the House and the Senate. That includes the Speaker of the House and the ranking minority member, the minority leader in the House, and then and whoever is the leader in the Senate, the majority leader in the Senate, and the minority leader in the Senate as well. So you got a total of eight people notified, four senators, four congressmen, four Republicans, and four Democrats, but a total of eight. So the president signs this finding. Now, the rest of the House doesn't know about it, and the American people don't know about it. You need to understand that. This is fairly closely held. Fairly closely held. You better believe it's fairly closely held. And the members that are notified, it really can't talk about it. Okay, that obviously was done because their mission was successful in that Gaddafi was overthrown. Now, here's the problem. Many of those militia groups and many of the people that got the weapons and the training are not friends of the United States. Many of them are sworn enemies of the United States. And many of them are affiliated with Al-Qaeda, a terrorist organization. That during this time frame, the president and the Democratic Party said, we have Al-Qaeda on the run. We've killed bin Laden, and we have Al-Qaeda on the run. That was the theme, if you will, the mind that went forth. We're the party that killed bin Laden, and we're the party that have Al-Qaeda on the run. Then what happened? Then what happened? On September 11th, the anniversary of 9/11, where the Twin Towers, World Trade Center towers, were plowed into by airlines, killing nearly 3,000 people, not only the people in the planes, but also the people in the buildings. And then another plane crashed into the Pentagon, killing many, obviously the people on the plane and people in the building. And another plane that really, I believe, was targeting either the Capitol building or the White House, fortunately crashed in a field in Pennsylvania when Americans went after the terrorists that had control of the plane. So on the anniversary of this event, where more Americans were killed than in Pearl Harbor, this was an attack on United States soil, the first time really since Pearl Harbor. In Pearl Harbor, most of the victims of Pearl Harbor were military, mainly Navy. Navy, Marines, and some Army, some civilians, but mostly military. However, on 9-1-1, it was almost all were innocent civilians. And the people responding, the firefighters and the police responding, trying to help the people out of that building. Now, I'm giving you this background, and I have a number of points to make, and I'm looking at the time. I'm already short, but I'm going to go a little bit longer. The lie went forth, and it was a lie, that there was a spontaneous demonstration protest in Benghazi that got out of hand and resulted in an attack first on the diplomatic facility. Initially, it was called a consulate. It never was a consulate. It was just another compound with buildings that the ambassador would stay in. Supposedly, some described it as a safe house. It wasn't very safe. And they had security people there. Unfortunately, not enough security. Not enough security. This is a highly dangerous place to be, period. Because you have warring factions, groups, affiliated with different militia groups. Some friendly to the United States, but most not. And you need to understand that. Even though we were supplying them initially with weapons, what happened as a result of Gaddafi being overthrown? Gaddafi was in power for many, many, many years, decades. And he was very corrupt. He was a dictator, but he bought tons of armaments and stockpiled them in military bases all over Libya. So when the regime, Gaddafi, was overthrown, all of these warehouses, bunkers, vaults, there are different ways to describe them, but they're buildings with stockpiles of weapons, rifles, pistols, ammunition, artillery shells, artillery pieces, mortars, rocket-propelled grenades, and most importantly, surface-to-air missiles that you can put on your shoulder and bring down an airline. Now, these missiles typically have a range of anywhere from 10,000 feet upwards of 15,000. Now, why am I telling you that? If these weapons get into the wrong hands, they can shoot down passenger jets, both in Europe, the Middle East, and the United States. And there were over 20,000 of them. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the scandal that they're covering up, that the United States enabled through its actions people that really do not wish Americans, as well as U.S., CIA, government, military, well, they want to kill us. We armed our enemy. That is the scandal, not only in Libya, but also in Syria. That was the mission of the CIA in that country, and that was signed off by your president. That is the scandal that really has not been touched. There has been no testimony on this. There's a lot of evidence, but no testimony. And that's what Gowdy has to get to the bottom of. There are a lot of other, and on next show I'll pick up on it, there are a lot of other unanswered questions. The truth has not come out. And that's why I applaud John Boehner's actions last week, and we'll have a vote on this, to form a select committee. And also, he picked an excellent person in Trey, in Gowdy, to head the committee. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD.